The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to My Two Cents. My name is Marianne Stanley, and I invite you to look at some of today's most pressing issues through an entirely different lens than that used by the corporate-owned media. Our focus will be on old-time journalism. In other words, on getting to the truth by referencing facts and sources. Stay tuned and see if you've had a hunger that nothing else could satisfy. Until now, that is. There's a topic that's near and dear to my heart, and that gets precious little airtime, despite the fact that 1 in 100 Americans are directly affected by this situation. What I'm talking about here is our prison system. We have more than 2.3 million of our own in prison today, and that's not counting the numbers of us who are in jails. Even in the worst of times, Russia and China didn't come anywhere near that incarceration rate. In fact, China right now has more than 1 million less people in their prisons, even though they have 4 times the population that the United States has. Europe used to send delegations to our country to look at our prisons, because as Alexis de Tocqueville once said, a great historian, no system of justice is more mild than that of America. We were known for our human decency and for our compassion towards each other. Not anymore. No countries are sending people to examine our prison system. And as Abu Ghraib showed, we are moving far, far away from human rights, from decent treatment of each other, and from allowing each other the dignity that is inherent in each and every individual. I had a couple of situations that occurred while I was a younger law student, actually, and they gave us a tour of the local jail. When I went there, I was really filled with trepidation because you had to check in, they examined your belongings, they took you there and told you to stay close together in a group as you went past the various jail cells. It was intimidating. It was a very crowded facility, and I would see all these unmade cots where it looked like 4 people were crowded into 1 small cell. And it was upsetting. And so I asked the person, because it was kind of intimidating, I asked our guide at that time, okay, what are these people in for? To which he replied, oh, mostly traffic offenses. I was appalled. I couldn't believe that people were in jail. It was at that point I think I became very interested in our jail system. I had another experience just a bit earlier than that when I was finishing up my undergrad degree, and I had gotten a ticket on my way to my final exam. I had just gone through a divorce. I have 3 little kids, and it was a really tough time. I got pulled over and given a traffic ticket. So I had to go downtown. I had been working full-time too. I had to go downtown with my 3 little ones sitting next to me in a courtroom in the evening. And the guy ahead of me was standing there in front of the judge, and he said, basically, the judge told him what his offense was. That was, again, just a minimal traffic offense, and he ordered him to pay a certain amount of money. The man said, Your Honor, I don't have it. And the judge says, What do you mean you don't have it? And he says, Your Honor, I don't have it. And the judge says, you need to pay me this money or I'm going to have my bailiff take you back to the jail cell and arrest you. And he said, Your Honor, I don't have the money. The judge at that point said, do you have a family? And the guy says, sure, I have a family. He said, do you buy them groceries? And he said, yes, I do, Your Honor. And he says, then you have money and you need to pay this fine or I'm going to handcuff you and take you back to the jail. The guy says, Your Honor, I can't pay that money. And the judge said, bailiff, take this man back to lockup. I sat there and I trembled, literally trembled, and I said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble here because I'd have to say the same thing to the judge, and I had three little ones in a state far removed from any family, and I was a single mother, and I didn't know what to do, so I went down and I said, can I get a continuance? And they gave me a continuance, and I got the heck out of there. What happened is I'd never showed up for the continuance date, at which time I was called back in. I was given a subpoena to show up. And when I got there, the judge said, young lady, why weren't you here? And I said, well, Your Honor, I didn't really have the money. So he says, listen, you're going to pay this or I'm going to send my deputy out and have you arrested. Even if you're at work, I will have you arrested. At that point, I decided I was going to become a lawyer. Because if the law works that way against people who are decent people, even great people or good people, who work hard and are treated like this by our judicial system, something was seriously, seriously wrong. Anyway, I proceeded to say, Your Honor, I don't have the money. He said, you have to pay the fine. I said, Your Honor, I don't have the money right now. It's between paydays. He said, when's your payday? When I told him, he said, okay, you're going to come in here then on Friday. You're going to pay me half of the fine, and you'll pay me the other half of the fine 2 weeks later when you get your next paycheck. If you don't, I will send someone out to arrest you. And I just remember being so outraged at that point and thinking, how many people in this country have no idea of this kangaroo court type system of justice that isn't justice at all, existing right here in the United States? If you're not caught crossways in our system, you're okay. But a lot of us get caught crossways for any number of reasons. And when we do, it's not a just system. In fact, there's a saying that law and justice are distant cousins who haven't spoken to each other for a very, very long time. And I've determined that that's pretty much true a lot of the time. I did go into law. I did become a lawyer, not until late in life. But I needed to know how the law works and why it works the way it does. I have to give credit to a lot of judges. They do an excellent, excellent job of really paying attention and trying to do their best to reach some kind of a fair conclusion. But honest to God, a lot of our laws even are unjust. For instance, our traffic laws. Under the Constitution, under our 8th Amendment of the Constitution, it specifically says excessive bail shall not be required, nor fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. My contention is that traffic fines are excessive. There are many people out there who cannot pay traffic fines on the incomes that they have. They're not in the upper middle class or in the upper classes. And $135 for a speeding ticket is very much excessive for them. That is a week's groceries for them and their children. So we need to look at some of these things in our own system instead of turning a blind eye towards it. There's another fact that's upsetting, and that is that they've just enacted a law, actually, that has electronic monitoring of license plates. And without pulling someone over, the police, at least in my city, can see by just scanning a license plate as it goes by if that person owes two or more fines that haven't been paid. If they do, the police pull that person over, doesn't matter where in town they find them, pulls them over, orders them out of the car, calls for a tow truck, and the two towing companies are under contract. They make money off of this, and so does the city. They tow this person's car away. Now, logically think this through a minute. If they can't afford to pay their fines, which is generally the reason people don't pay them, otherwise they'd pay them. They'd say, screw this. I don't want to have a fine on my record. I don't want to be in trouble. I don't want to have any kind of a difficulty over this. They would pay them. So if they don't pay them, usually it's because they don't have any money. The cars that I see pulled over are generally pretty old junker kind of cars. These are towed away. Now the person has no car. So they can't get to work. They can't go buy groceries for their family. They can't do anything. And a lot of them can't even get home from where they've been pulled over. When we're seeing these kinds of laws enacted and the rest of us don't stand up and scream about it, trying to protect each other from the excesses of the law, then we are morally accountable for not saying anything to protect those of us who are in worse condition than we are. It's going to take all of us working together to make laws reasonable, to make them fair, to get away from things that are excessive and that target specifically the lower classes who can't fight back. And I noticed this time and time again when I used to live out west. The cars that were pulled over 95% of the time were always the junkers, were always not. I never saw somebody pulled over in a Lexus or a Mercedes or in a Porsche or in a Corvette. I never saw that. I would see these old cars in the hot desert, pulled over, windows down, no air conditioning, and they would be the ones getting the tickets. So when we begin to pick on the people who are least able to defend themselves, we are becoming bullies. We were seeing bullying at Abu Ghraib. We are not honoring our treaties. We are not honoring human rights. We're not honoring the inherent dignity of each person as their own moral agent. So this is one aspect that needs to be examined. I will do my next section of a show on the other issues having to do now more with the prison system itself. The numbers of people there, like I said, there are 2.3 million. The numbers of people there, but not only that, it will be also about the kinds of laws that put them there, about the makeup of the people who were in prison, and we're going to take a look at what that means for our country. So that's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Your feedback is always welcome. Just email us at shout@theflypod.com. Until next time, this has been My Two Cents with Marianne Stanley.